Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. About 5 years ago, or almost 6 years ago, I was called here to First Lutheran, and I learned some good wisdom from one of our teachers in the ECE. I heard it by way of my children. They learned this, and they taught me it. Very good wisdom. It's from Mrs. Boatman. Thank you, Mrs. Boatman. You get what you get, and you don't pitch a fit. Good advice. I don't know if you got it somewhere else, Mrs. Boatman, but that's the way I know it from you, so I give you all the credit. Great advice. And that kind of applies today to Matthew 20, 1-16 that we heard in the gospel reading. Some of the workers of a vineyard were hired early and worked all day, 12 hours. And some were hired later on in the day, the third, the ninth, especially someone the last hour, the 11th hour of the day. And at the end of the day, they all got the same pay for their labor, a denarius. And so the early workers pitched a fit. Now, 1 hour, as we all know, should equal 1 hour's pay, and 12 hours should equal 12 hours' pay, but that wasn't this master's agenda. So what's the deal with this master? Paying everyone the same. The last as the first, and the first as the last. Is this part of some new Washington stimulus plan? Is this some advice from Dave Ramsey on the radio to help people get out of debt? Is this equal payment scheme even legal? What would a lawyer say? Well, surely a lawyer would point out the contract that we heard in the text. You did agree to work 12 hours for a denarius, didn't you? Yes. And you did get paid a denarius as promised, didn't you? Well, yes. Contract fulfilled, that's legal, and that'll be $600. But it is, or is it? Is it fair? Is it fair to the workers? According to the text, the all-day workers didn't think so, because they worked all day under the sun while the latecomers sat on their butts all day doing nothing until the last hour, and yet they're getting the exact same pay. What kind of boss is this? Who's running the show? Nothing makes us more annoyed when someone else gets for practically nothing when we do all the work. It may be legal, but it's not fair. If there's a God in heaven, he'd never let this fly in his kingdom. Or does he? We learn in the text today at the very beginning, the way the parable began, the kingdom of heaven is like. Does that offend anybody? You want to jump ship while there's still a chance? Can you tolerate a God who gives the same wage to those who worked all day, to those who worked at the last hour? The wages of sin is the same for everyone, isn't it? Death, the wages of sin is death. It's the same for everyone. Everyone gets the same wage for turning their back on God and his ways, and we all do it. God's law show that there's no favoritism for those who sin more as those who sin less. That's why there's no salvation possible through the law. But thanks be to God. So also the free gift of salvation comes apart from the law. For everyone who believes. Whether you believed and began working at the first hour or the 11th hour, your work does not determine your pay, which is eternal life. Rather, Christ Jesus determines your pay when he lived the perfect life, died for our sins on the cross. And Christ Jesus revealed your reward when he rose again in the flesh and promised the crown of life through believing. In other words, not your work, but God's grace determines your pay. For it is by grace you have been saved, Ephesians 2 says, and this not of your own doing, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. But some of us worked harder. It's not fair. Perhaps. But as the manager explains in the text, the master of the house, he says, "Friend, am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?" Even if you think that the master of the house in this text isn't being fair, you must admit he was being generous, an act of charity, such that even those who worked only 1 hour, no fault of their own, they were just hadn't been hired, that they would have enough to buy food and good things for their family, and they would get paid a full day's wage, even though they worked 1 hour, an act of charity. Can you fault a man for being generous? What about you? Would you rather have a God that gives you exactly what you deserve, or would you rather have a God that chooses to provide you more than you deserve, and in fact give you what you don't deserve? Looking back on my life, I'm sure that I got not what I deserved. I'm sure I've gotten a lot more than I deserved. In fact, I wouldn't even be here today in this pulpit if I got exactly what I deserved. And I'm sure that St. Paul felt the same way in the Scriptures. He says, "By the grace of God, I am what I am, he who formerly persecuted the church." By the grace of God, pastors like St. Paul were called to work for God in his kingdom. Such ministers of the gospel should not be jealous of those who came later and received the same pay as those who labored longer. That's what Jesus teaches us in this parable. Or as Mrs. Boatman put it very well, you get what you get and you don't pitch a fit. Rather, we ought to rejoice that God's grace is what it is and where it worked, where it will. And what may not seem at first glance to be fair might just be a demonstration of charity. Besides, serving the Lord in his kingdom is a privilege and a labor of love, not something undertaken to gain a reward. So ministers of the word should treat the service we do for Christ as a labor of love. Some plant the seed, that is pastors. Some of us plant the seed, evangelists. Others water what has been sown. That's why we have a church and a school, campus ministry, and all the things, Sunday school and adult Bible class, the watering of the word which is planted. Others, many people here volunteer and get paid very little, some at some substandard rates. And sometimes we forget, we may even grumble a little bit how much we get paid. And then a text comes along like this one and reminds us it's a labor of love. It's a labor of love. And he who hires others also hires you. All of us serve God according to our calling, whether father or mother or wife or worker or son or student. Each are called to serve God in his kingdom as receivers of his grace, as followers of Christ, and believers in the forgiveness he brings. To live upright and peaceable lives in God's sight, patterned after his love and his charity, which we heard in this text. May this day we all take Jesus' words in this parable to heart, the charity of the Master. One final application today we might learn here. You know, if you look around the world today, it's no doubt, certainly everybody understands this, that many of us, even here in our church, many of us are unemployed or underemployed, a big problem in the world, willing to work, but not finding jobs right now to support themselves and their families. Perhaps such a text today would prompt a few masters of households in our country to show some similar compassion and ensure that some of the unemployed can go to work and, if possible, graciously give a little bit more income as though hired earlier, though it is clearly later in the day or the month or the year, to be generous. We should all know by now that the stimulus program that's offered is only part of the solution. Compassion and mercy and making sacrifices for others may not make the news, but it can make a God-pleasing difference in people's lives, real people that you know. So on behalf of all those not working and yet willing to work as many are right now, our world needs a few more masters like this one in the text. Someone to show compassion, to be generous, to be charitable. And may we, the church, be prompted to lend our aid too, that together we may ensure, as God's masks, as his undercover agents in the world, that everyone receive their daily bread. And many, many more can turn to our Heavenly Father with thanksgiving. For as the scriptures say, he fills the hungry with good things. God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surrounds and surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise.